Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. And we are still in the exciting book of 1 Thessalonians. We're calling this series, Turning the World Upside Down. And I love that because today on the podcast, I have somebody from another part of the world. Really, it's the world that's upside down. Yeah. Hearn and Helena is my dear friend. Matter of fact, his wife, Azariah, is with us in the studio today as well. Hernan pastors Southland Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. And so, Hernan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Brother Skelly, and enjoyed just having some time with you and getting to know your church a little bit this week as well. And yeah, literally, we're from the land down under. So I'm glad that it sort of suits the theme.
It suits the theme of the podcast.
That's great.
The friends that the Lord has allowed me to have in my life have sharpened me. They've helped me. I think that's what good friends do. And Hernan's that guy in my life that every time I'm with him, we get through the weather talk pretty quickly. And then we just talk about ministry. We talk about the Bible. We talk about sermon ideas. And I love that. And so Hernan, just for us to be able to talk in front of my friends is a blessing. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we've learned a lot in this little power-packed book. And now we're going to learn a little bit about the why. So the Apostle Paul now is going to help us to understand why. Why did I write this letter? What was on my heart? Humanly speaking, how did the Lord use these circumstances to preserve for us a book that is so helpful? That's the book of 1 Thessalonians. So I'm going to read a few verses, and then let's figure this thing out together. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear," we couldn't put up with this any longer, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, "and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." So a little bit of the backstory of why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. So here's what we know. We know that he went to Thessalonica. We know he was kicked out of town by the unbelieving Jews, the mob.
Yep.
And then we know he moved down the road to Berea. And they were noble. They didn't just take Paul's word for it. Yeah, they searched the scriptures. And then they went to Athens. And Athens was a different kind of ministry. Talk to us about that, Hernan.
Yeah, and I think when we think about that time in history and the place that he was in that Greek culture, the sort of the classical Greek that we think about Athens. And it was the major city of the day. And yet we know that the Apostle Paul had to change his mindset there. Often when Paul went to different towns, he went to synagogues, he went to places that had at least a background knowledge or a working knowledge of the scriptures of the day. And yet here in Athens, it was very much not even a society that believed in one God. It was polytheistic, and it was very much a mixed group of people there in Athens.
In many ways, the Athens ministry is more, we can relate to that today more so than even the other ministries, because we live in that post-Christian era.
That's right.
Where people don't necessarily subscribe to the authority of God's word or wouldn't even agree that there's one God that's creator. So the Apostle Paul started there. But during that entire ministry at Athens, the Apostle Paul has this nagging concern about the people back up in Thessalonica. And without the aid of FaceTime or email or a cell phone, the Apostle Paul really is at a loss as to how they're doing. So he sends Timothy back up to Thessalonica to help those people, to find out how they're doing and to help them. And he describes helping them in verse 2. So in verse 1, he said, hey, I'm willing to be left here alone. That's a sacrifice.
That is.
I'm willing to let a team member go.
That's right. And really, as Brother Skelly, you said, there was no other way for Paul to know what had happened to the group of believers he had left over in Thessalonica. And so he needed to send someone over there just out of his concern, out of his heart for them. He really wanted to know what was happening over there because of the way that things have happened. Some great things were happening there, but the way they had to leave so quickly. And so no doubt he was very concerned about how they were doing as believers. And so he sends Timothy over there, Timothy, who is his son in the faith, someone who he trusts wholeheartedly with the need of the ministry, and someone who shared the Apostle Paul's heart.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that point out because it says in verse 2 that Paul describes Timothy, I sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God. That word minister, it literally means a table waiter, somebody that's willing to do the smallest job with the best attitude. And that was Timothy. So he's our minister. He's the minister of God. And I like that too, to minister of God. Sometimes in ministry, we forget that although I might be going on this errand on the behalf of Paul, while I might be doing this job because my pastor asked me to, really at the end of the day, we do what we do for God. We're his minister.
Right.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, Paul told the Ephesians, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart.
From
so
the heart.
He's a minister of God, then the Bible says, and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So table waiter, laborer, these aren't the most attractive terms, but that's ministry, isn't it?
That's right. And sometimes we can get carried away with some of these titles, and we forget that really they're not titles, they were descriptors of the kind of character that Timothy had. And these characteristics are you know, in our modern day society, we would say are lowly. You know, someone who is a table waiter or someone who is a laborer isn't someone that we would look to as the higher echelons of society, but we see that those are the kind of descriptors that God gives for those that he will use.
And to take the definitions of our Lord, you know, the servant is the greatest of all.
Of all.
So Paul is describing a great fellow laborer in the person of Timothy, and then he gives us which is so instructive to me, so helpful in modern ministry, and that is, how do we help a church best? He said, I want to send you back to Thessalonica really to accomplish two big rock responsibilities. Number one, he says it in verse 2, I'm sending Timothy to establish you and then to comfort you concerning your faith. So let's look at that first thing, first part, concerning your faith. So that there's the qualifier. So establish you concerning your faith, comfort you concerning your faith. In other words, the Apostle Paul's biggest concern for them was their faith. Now, does that mean that in ministry we shouldn't be concerned about people's physical needs? No. But his major concern was their walk with God.
That's right. And again, Paul left them quite quickly. And as much as he spent the time with them during those couple of weeks that he was in Thessalonica, they were left in such a way that, you know, really can be confusing for new believers. They would have gone through already great persecution and they would have been tried for their faith already. And so Paul's mentality was, I need to go back there, or I need to send Timothy over there so that I can establish them in their faith and then to comfort them in their faith, because they would have already faced these, as he's going to mention in verse 3, afflictions.
And my friends, when you think about the faith or concerning your faith, we've used faith generically to be a synonym of, well, that's going to church, that's living the Christian life, almost as if this is just a game we play. But remember, my friends, that the Christianity is about my belief in, my reliance upon, my acknowledgement of the existence of God. And the just shall live by his faith. That's the whole point. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's the most important part of your health? Your faith, maintaining your belief in, your daily reliance upon, confidence in God. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, the Apostle Paul said, Timothy, I want you to establish them concerning the faith. So Hernan, talk to our listeners about what does that mean, to establish somebody concerning their faith?
So to establish someone in their faith, it's really to ground them in who we believe in and what we believe in. And really, we can summarize that as far as in our vernacular today, and really biblically, doctrine. And he needed to establish them in the doctrines of Scripture, in the teachings of the Word of God. And to summarize that, really, he needed to, the goal was for Timothy to go back and to establish them in who God is, to make sure that their confidence in who he was, and then also to establish them in what to believe and what they ought to believe in.
Makes no difference, you know, how well you decorate your home. If the foundation is not set correctly, it's never going to work. In church, doctrine is foundational, and doctrine determines polity. Polity determines policy. Policy determines practice. So it comes back to, what do you believe? Timothy, get up there and make sure that they are grounded in their faith, and then establish them, and then encourage them, because right, that's what the word comfort means. So establish and comfort them. Sometimes we get that backward, or we even leave off the most important one. So we're all about encouragement. We're all about pumping people up. Mm. And church becomes a cheerleading exercise. Right. And you can do it, and you can make it, right, and you can repair your relationships, and you can be happy, and you can have your best life today. And right, and I think all of that exempts, excludes the most important thing, which is to establish people in who God is and what we believe.
And that's it. You know, you've got to have both. You've got to have doctrine, and you've got to have the encouragement of the Word. And with doctrine, it gives you the strength and the stability. But what comfort does is it then helps you, encouragement helps you then look to those doctrines and understand how that gets you through and how that gets you going.
So you could say it this way, that establishment, that's instruction, and then comfort or encouragement, that's incentive. And we need both.
Right.
We need to be incentivized to obey what we know. So Timothy, get up there, and I want you to establish them. I want you to comfort them. And he gives us a specific in verse 3, and we'll have to do this quickly because we're running out of time. But verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. So when you establish something, when you fix it, when you establish that foundation or that mooring, then you're in a place where you're immovable. So the Apostle Paul said, the reason that I want to establish the people at Thessalonica is that they wouldn't be moved from what they believe, what they know in Christ.
And he really, it's that picture again of firming their foundation, making sure that they're not shaken by the situation that they find themselves in, the quick exit that Paul and his group had to quickly do and had to quickly leave the city. And so his concern was that they would be established, that they would be firm in their foundation, because he had great hopes for them, and he had great hopes for their furtherance in being used in their city.
The image, I love this, of the original word in verse 3 about being moved or shaken is a dog wagging its tail. So we all have seen dogs wagging their tail. And if you have a dog, you're my friend. If you have a cat, we're on speaking terms.
I agree.
But anyway, dog wagging its tail. You see it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't want your faith to be like a tail of a dog, back and forth, back and forth. I want you to know what you believe. I want you to know why you believe it. Most importantly, I want to know whom you believe, because only then will you not be shaken in all the vicissitudes of life. Mm. You are going to be rock solid. And I want to talk more about that tomorrow, because I think that's, and number one, because the Bible does, and we're staying right in the Bible. But number two, I really believe this is an important theme for us, because we live in that world where it's very easy for us, if we're not careful, to be shaken. And let's talk about what it means to be unshaken for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. It's a blessing that you would take time out of your day. I'm praying that God gives you a great day in the Lord today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.